Now that I'm properly hooked up, everybody can hear me? Now we've been studying from the Epistle to the Hebrews, the expression, let us. We continue that study this evening from Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Hebrews 12 and verse 1. We've already considered a part of this verse, the latter part, but we want to take the beginning part. Wherefore, seeing we are also surrounded with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us lay aside every weight. And the picture is that of an athlete. You notice that athletes don't wear more than they have to. The basketball player doesn't wear a lot of clothes. The runners don't wear a lot. Swimmers don't wear a lot. Tennis players don't wear a lot. They wear only what is necessary to cover them. And then, too, they make sure of their body weight, not to be too fat, not to be overweight, so that they may accomplish the purpose for which they are engaged. And we are told here that we are to lay aside every weight and sin. Now, I know some of your Bibles say, the sin. But I have it on good authority that that does not belong in there. Lay aside sin. It is sin which causes us to fail in the race that is before us. Sin is a weight. Now what we want to do in this connection, I want to consider three Bible characters, only one tonight, all very outstanding men in their day. And they all failed because of sin that they allowed in their lives. And that sin was in complete disobedience to the Word of God. We need to thank the Lord that we have a Bible. Many people don't have the Bible. And we have the Word of God. Oh, we should cherish it. And as I often say, beloved, take good care of your Bible. Don't let any dog ears get on the pages. And if you have a leatherback Bible, treat the leather sometime. I recommend every 3 months. This is God's Word. When we hold this book, we're holding God's Word. The one who created heaven and earth, he wrote this book. And we should cherish it. We should think a lot of it. Now, the first subject that we want to consider, and the only one tonight, is Moses. Please turn with me, please, to Numbers chapter 12 and verse 3. Numbers chapter 12. Numbers 12 and verse 3. Lessons from that great leader of the Lord's people, Moses. 12 and 3 reads as follows. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. What a description. The meekest man on earth in his day. Now there's one thing we need to remember. Meekness does not mean weakness. Some people think that if you're meek, you're weak. Well, the Lord was weak, was meek. And we get that in several scriptures. You find that, for example, in Matthew chapter 11, verse 29. Most of us know that from memory. Matthew 11 and 29. Our Lord was meek. Verse 28, we all know from memory. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But 29 says, take up my yoke upon you, and learn of me, I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest. That's an interesting combination. In one verse he says, I will give you rest, and the next one he says, you will find rest. And it works just that way. He gives us rest from sin and the punishment of sin when he saves us. But then we must walk in communion with him to find rest. But he says here that he is meek. And our Lord was meek, but you know as well as I, he was never weak. Moses, the weakest man on the earth in his day. And now let's see what happened to him. Numbers chapter 20. Numbers chapter 20 and verse 7. This is the meekest man now. Verse 7. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take thy rod, gather the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, note please, speak unto the rock. Okay? Speak to the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. Speak to the rock, the meekest man on the earth. Verse 9, Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he had commanded him. Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them. Now the Lord said speak to the rock. He didn't say speak to the people. And this is where Moses made his serious mistake. Disobedience to the word of God. And notice what he said. This is the meekest man now. The meekest man of his day. He said unto them, hear now you rebels. Oh, that does not like a very weak person, does it? Yeah, but you know, this sort of happens to us when we lose self-control and we speak inadvisedly, as we shall read further about Moses. Hear now you rebels. Must we fetch you water out of this rock? The meekest man on the earth. And we do well to be careful of our speech. Come with me now to Psalm 106. Psalm 106, verses 32 and 33. 106, verse 32. They angered him, the Lord, that is, also at the waters of strife, so that it went ill with Moses for their sakes, because they provoked his spirit so that he spoke inadvisedly. He was so provoked. And we need to be careful, beloved, when we speak. Don't speak under passion. I remember years ago, We were with a group, and one young sister said, well, I just have to speak my mind, and I'll give people a piece of my mind whenever I have to. Don't do that. You might need yourself, your mind. Don't give away any of your mind. You may need it. We ought to be under control. Jeremiah chapter 19, please. Or chapter 18. Jeremiah chapter 18. We have seen this before, but we look at it again. It is possible to hurt people with words. It is possible to damage people with our words. I've had a couple of such experiences. One brother, he's now with the Lord, and he made a certain statement about him. I still don't know why he made it. A very cutting statement. And we can hurt people with our words. Jeremiah 18, verse 18. Then said they, come and let us devise devices against Jeremiah. For the law shall not perish from the priest, nor counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. Come, let us smite him with the tongue. Now that's a terrible thing. You're going to smite him with the tongue. And we can smite with the tongue. Let's be very careful how we use our tongue. The meekest man in his day. And look how he spoke to the children of God. But do you know what he actually did? And we'll find out what he did. Let's read, for example, 1 Samuel chapter 25. Exactly what did Moses do? First Samuel chapter 25. What did he do? Now, we've looked at this chapter recently. And I see a lot of young people here, so I'm going to read and I'm going to deviate purposely. So that you will never be able to say that you weren't advised. And I do it for this reason. Years ago in New York City, a young lady, lovely young lady, along with five others, were saved and baptized. And 2 months later, she married a Jehovah's Witness. And we got together. Why did she do that? Terrible, terrible. I said, wait a minute, brethren. Which of us told her it was wrong? And that's why I'm going to mention what I mentioned tonight. So that if you never heard it before, and I know you have, you'll know what's right. Let's read 1 Samuel chapter 25, verse 2. There was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel. The man was very great, had 1,000 sheep, 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail. Now, look at the description of Abigail. She was a woman of good understanding, beautiful countenance. Oh, but look at the husband. The man was churlish, that is harsh, evil in his doings. He was of the house of Caleb. They were unequally yoked. A cultured, refined young lady marrying a man who was rude, crude, and uncouth.
Rich.
Oh, he was rich. Be careful, young ladies. And I think of another young lady. We used to have Bible classes at our home in New York. Very fine young lady. And she said to me, brought her boyfriend one night, and said, I'm introducing you to him. And at the end of the meeting, she said, what do you think of him? And I was very blunt. I said, not much. And I said, don't marry him. But she went ahead and married him. And when they returned from the honeymoon, I said, well, how did things go? She said, not so good. I knew her well. I said, well, what happened? Well, we got to the honeymoon suite. He undressed and got in bed. I undressed and kneeled at the bed and asked him if we weren't going to pray. He said, oh, you don't have to be on your knees to pray. Get in bed. You can pray any kind of way. Honeymoon. Unequally yoked. And you know why she married? I will change him. You don't change anybody. He will change, yes, for the worse. So young folks, ladies and gentlemen, marry in the will of the Lord. Now, that's a parenthesis. That's not part of our subject. Now we read on. Verse 4. David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did share his sheep. David sent out 10 young men, and David said unto the young men, Get you up to Carmel and to Nabal, and greet him in my name. Thus shall you say to him that liveth in prosperity, Peace both to thee, and peace to thine house, and peace unto all that thou hast. Now I have heard that thou hast shearers. Now thy shepherds which were with us, we hurt them not, neither was there aught missing unto them all the while they were in Carmel. Ask thy young men, and they will show thee. Wherefore let the young men find favor in thine eye, for we come in a good day. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh to thy hand unto thy servant and to thy son David. And when David's young men came, they spake to Nabal according to all these words in the name of David, and ceased. Now note. Nabal answered David's servants and said, Who's David? Who's the son of Jesse? There are many servants nowadays that break away from every man from his master. You know what he was doing? He was railing, downgrading David and his people. And when Moses said, Shall you rebels? He was railing on the people of God. Downgrading the people of God. And we've got to be very careful how we speak about the people of God. Shall I take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my sharers, and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be? He's belittling David and his men. Terrible thing to do. So David's young men turned their way and went again and came and told him all those sayings. David said unto his men, Gird on ye every man his sword. They girded on every man his sword. David also girded on his sword, and they went after David about 400 men and 200 abode by the stuff. But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, Behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he railed on them. The sin of railing. And that is what Moses did. And it's a very, very, well, all sin is bad. A very serious sin. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. He railed on them. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 11. But now I have written unto you, not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard. You're to put the fornicator out of fellowship, and the railer is to be out of fellowship. You see how serious a sin it is, and how serious a sin Moses committed. He railed on the people of God. He spoke to the people, and God told him to speak to the mountain. Disobedience to the word of God. There are other scriptures. Let's read 1 Peter 3 and 9, please. Our Lord was meek, wasn't he? How did he behave when his enemies taunted him and insulted him? I'm going to change that. 2 and 11. 3 and 9 is good, but 2 and 11. And I'm going to change that also. I think we have a more appropriate scripture. 1 Peter chapter 2. Oh, yeah. Verse 22. You remember in Matthew how they slapped him in the face, how they spit in his face, how they called him all names, how they mocked him and said, if you be the Son of God, come down. They belittled the very Creator. How did he respond? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, spoken evil of, reviled not again. He didn't answer back the way they spoke to him. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. And that is the way we are to conduct ourselves when we are insulted. But let us be careful not to insult the next person. And as we have not read, but you read further on when you go home concerning Moses, for this sin, striking the rock and speaking to the people, contrary to God's will and word, he was not allowed to enter the promised land. And you say to me, well, was that such a serious thing? I think I've told you this before. This was many years ago. Hot summer day in August. I remember it well. And there was a dear sister there. And she had her legs amputated both above the knee. And she called me up and said, I can't come to you. Will you please come to me? And I remember that was a hot day. And she lived on the fourth floor. And walking up there, no elevator. And she said, come in. It was in her bedroom. And she said, brother, I have a word for you. Oh, my. Sisters, you don't know. You can be most effective. You don't have to be on a platform. In her bedroom with both legs amputated, she said, brother, I have a word for you. And you know she talked about 40 minutes. From this same portion here concerning Moses, and she asked me, why do you think God did such a thing to him as not to let him go into the promised land? Was his sin that bad? He said, I'll tell you. When he struck that rock the second time, he broke a picture. Christ was only to be smitten once, and he spoiled the picture. That's why he didn't go into the Holy Land. And I shall never forget that. It's not the subject tonight. I could tell you some other things that sisters have been very helpful. So don't worry that you don't go on the platform. I was hearing some preacher today explaining that we're all one and ladies can go on the platform and all that. Oh, we carried on. Go by the book. Moses' error was that he disobeyed what God said. Let us all go by the book. He railed, he belittled the people of God. When the Lord Jesus Christ was here and they spoke ill of him, he did not revile. He did not rail on the people. You remember what he said? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. What a Savior we have. But we must go on. We have 10 minutes. Deuteronomy 13. Whenever somebody tells you something, don't just go around and accept what they say. This is how we are to conduct ourselves when we hear something, especially about a brother or a sister. Did you hear what brother so-and-so did? No, what did he do? So, no, don't do that. You approach it this way. Deuteronomy 13, verse 12. If thou shalt hear say in one of thy cities which the Lord thy God hath given to thee, certain men, the children of Belial, are gone out from among you, and have withdrawn the inhabitants of their city, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which ye have not known. Thou shalt inquire, make search, ask diligently. You don't just accept gossip. You inquire, you make search, and ask diligently. And people have brought gossip to me. I think of a few cases. I said, how do you know that's true? Well, somebody said, I was told. Don't accept it. Inquire diligently whether that thing is true or not. Thou shalt inquire, make search, ask diligently, and behold, if it be true, and the thing certain, then it tells you what to do. But we are not to go around gossiping or accepting gossip. Moses got into trouble because of his tongue, because of his mouth. I have a little poem here. Guard well your tongue from careless words, whatever else you do, and ere you speak of anything, be sure you know it's true. In New York, we used to sing a little song. I haven't heard it here, but I'm sure you must know it. Watch your lips, watch their lips, what they say. Anybody know that? There's a Father up above, looking down in tender love. Watch your lips, what they say. I'm finished. Moses was the meekest man of his day. But unwise use of his speech got him into trouble. He never entered the promised land. And the trouble with him was he disobeyed the word of God. God said, speak to the rock. He didn't say, hit the rock. And he didn't say, speak to the people. And beloved, again I say, let's cherish this word and let us obey the word of God. Obedience to the word of God will save us a lot of difficulty and will grant us a lot of real joy in the Lord. We have about 5 minutes. I'm going to ask that we sing, I think it's number 500. Trust and obey. Our big problem is to obey. Let's see, did I call that right? Oh, thank you. Just the first and the last verses. To be happy in Jesus.